All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. Acts chapter 9, we're going to begin looking at verse number 32 this morning. Acts 9:32. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for such a beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to be gathered in this place together as your church family. Lord, we thank you for your presence and your spirit in this place. Lord, as we've sung here this morning, to know just how wonderful you are, how wonderful your name is, and Lord, how wonderful it is to know a relationship with you. And Lord, I pray this morning as we open your word, as we are directed by your Holy Spirit in this place this morning, that you would just speak your words through me. And Lord, that today your church, that we might receive your message. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse number 32, and it says, "It came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Ananias, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Ananias, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord." We see many of the things that we discussed up until this point. We see a conversion experience of a man named Saul. We see a movement of God in the midst of the church. We see Saul moving from place to place, faithfully sharing the word of Christ and his testimony, as we talked about last week. We see now moving on in these verses here, this man named Peter. And he tells us in this verse here that we often think about Peter. We see a reminder of the apostles, the men of God that were serving God in the early church, that were about the work of the church. And one of the very key distinctions that we have to recognize this morning when we think about these verses is the Acts of the Apostles, right? Thus titled the book Acts that we're reading. Those are the Acts, the movement of the church. What was actually happening every day physically in the life of the church. One of the things that we see very prevalent in the early church was this act of healing. This act of the movement of the Holy Spirit healing in people's lives. And we think about it today in the world that we live in. Do we need healing? Do we need strength and encouragement? Do we need the movement of God in the world that we live in today? We sure do. We see it. We see a continual list over and over and over in our hearts and our lives and people's lives that are sick, that are struggling, that are physically hurting. And it's very evidenced here in the book of Acts that we see it was a little different scenario. Now, I don't believe if we study out very specifically, and we don't have time to study out all the details this morning, but if we study the Word of God, we see that the acts of healing are not necessarily a part of the church the way that we see it in the book of Acts here today. We do see that the most important thing is that it was the same Holy Spirit and the same movement of the same God that we worship today that did bring these acts of healing by the apostles, by the men of God. It does not mean that God doesn't heal today, but He heals in different ways. And through different process, I believe, and there's a great deal of thought on that, and there's a lot of discussion, and if you want to get into more discussion, there's a lot to think about in those verses. There's a lot of discussion as to whether or not we can see those things. Now, I know without a doubt if we were to turn on the television, if we were to listen to the radio, if we were to even step into some other places of worship today, you might hear other than that. You might hear today that people do have this gift and ability to heal in the way that we see it here in these verses. I think that is contrary to the Word of God. I think that we have to look beyond what the world likes to say today is comfortable. I can guarantee you that I have no healing power. If you were to come up here and ask me to smack you in the forehead and heal you of whatever's going on in your life today, I don't have the capability of doing that. I don't believe God's going to do that through me. If that was the case, I'd heal all of you. That'd be great, right? That'd be wonderful if I could do that. There's a list of people on our bulletin that we'd just like to start with, the ones that are close and personal, right? I've got a mother at home dying of cancer in a bed right now. If I could just touch her and heal her, I'd praise the Lord. That'd be great. But that doesn't always happen. As you think about those things, it's important to recognize that there was a difference here. The difference was the condition of the church. One of the things that we see very specifically in the verses leading up to this was the movement of the Spirit in a different way than we see today. And a lot of it came down to the commitment of the church. the faithfulness of the church, the obedience of the servants of God. But nonetheless, it's so important for us to see what is it that God is doing in these verses. This man named Peter, he says, as he passed throughout the quarters, it tells us that Peter was about the ministry that God had called him to. He was making the rounds. He was going from place to place doing what God had called him to do. And it's no different today for the church. For each one of us as faithful servants of God, God has called us to different places and different times and different situations. For every one of you, you go places every week that I don't go. That's an opportunity for you. That's a ministry for you. The places that you go, the people that you see, the people that you meet, the people that you have relationships with, they're different for each one of us. And it's an opportunity for us to be used of God. And Peter was being used of God in this very specific place and situation. It says he came down also to the saints which dealt at Lydda. And it gives us a very specific thing. If you want to take your Bible out sometime, most Bibles you can flip to the back and you can find a map. Great part about the world we live in today. If you want to do something different than that, you can go to your favorite little Google app or whatever else you want to look at. And you can pull up in just a matter of seconds on the internet where this is. You can see the description of this place. It gives us a little bit of better study, a little more history into where we are. But he went down to this place and he went to the saints. It tells us there what we've already learned to this point in the book of Acts, that there were Christians that were scattered out all over this area. As we read it in the days of Scripture, we see it here very specifically. It tells us that those are saints. That's a description of any individual today. Same description that we say today. Any individual that has a relationship with Jesus Christ is a saint. Now we know that's often termed differently in the world we live in, and we might not look at ourselves and think about that picture of a saint, but what it means is that we're sanctified, that we've been saved through Jesus Christ. And that's what it means even in the context in these verses, that there were saints, there were Christians worshiping and ministering in this place of Lydda, and Peter went down to that place, and when he went to that place, we see he finds this man, Ananias, which, he says in verse 33, had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. 8 years. Anybody ever been sick for 8 years and not been able to do anything about it? Individually, for us today, we get sick for a couple of days and we wished it was over, right? We want to get through that. We're hurrying to the doctor. We're going to try to get something figured out. We're talking about a situation here in a man's life. There was a condition in his life. If we do a little bit of study and research, we see that word palsy. Maybe you kind of think about some terminology in our world today. Very basically, very simply, we boil it down. This man had a situation of paralysis. That's what palsy means. There was paralysis. It doesn't get real involved in it, but it tells us that he had this condition, and for 8 years at this time, he laid in bed. He kept his bed. He laid in bed for 8 years. You think about a short amount of time today. You think about the illness and the difficulty that's in our world today, and we think about paralysis, and we probably can think about people that we know that are in these conditions, that have situations where they're unable to get out of bed, where they're in this life situation for them today. And 8 years, that's a long time, right? At that point in time, there's a lot of things that begin to happen. First of all, we got to think about the physical things, right? Physically, if you lay in bed for a week, how do you feel? Anybody get the chance to lay in bed for a week lately? Most of us don't have that luxury, right? If we get 8 hours in the bed, we're thinking we're doing good these days. We're too busy for that. But you think about when you get sick and you're not feeling well, and you in the normal context of life, you kind of lay around and try to get better. It gets tiresome. People get sick. I mean, we don't even have today in our society. I mean, we have children in a couple of days at the max, right? I mean, if we have a woman goes into labor, here's a baby, they're get the baby there, make sure everything's all right. We're kicking them out of the hospital. They don't spend a week in the hospital, very rarely anymore. Major surgeries, right? We don't even go to the hospital for a lot of surgery today. We go to an office and we get this done and we get that done and we get kicked out and we go home. We don't think about laying around, but think about it just in the context of what it means to lay in bed for 8 years. Can you imagine, what have you done in the last 8 years of your life? Could you imagine what it would have been like just to lay in bed for that time? Stare up at the ceiling and wonder what's going on. What kind of things happen to the body? They become weak, right? Besides the fact that this man has paralysis already, every other part of his body begins to weaken. Every other part of his life is interfered with. And most of the time, one of the things that happens very frequently, especially when people are in this condition, is that they're kind of separated from society, right? They're not always, I mean, if you're in bed all day long, you're not going to really know what's going on around you. Now we have a little different luxury today with the internet and all those kinds of things. Somebody might be able to stay in contact a little better with that cell phone we're attached to and all those other things. But think about it in the context of the scripture. This man was a castaway. He was set aside from society. He didn't know the things that were going on. He didn't see all the things of life. And think about the physical parts of his body. Then begin to think just a little bit more spiritually. If you're not aware today, a lot of times when the physical things begin to attack our body, when there's weakness and struggle and hurt and pain in our body, it creates a lot of other emotional issues as well. You don't believe me? Go down to the nursing home and hang out for a day or two. Go out to the hospitals and to these places where people are in a condition like this man would have been, where they just have to lay in bed all day long. And they don't have these things. It's one of the greatest challenges that our healthcare providers face today is getting people to a place of physically getting better and emotionally getting better, spiritually getting better. And today when we're in a situation of sickness and difficulty physically, the spirit becomes weak. The heart grows weak. Our thoughts and our minds. And when you think about just laying in bed today and not being able to move, just imagine the only thing that's really functioning is our brain, right? Our brain is moving along and all we can think about is all the things we wished we were doing, the things we want to do, and the things we can't do. And before long, that's all that there's a focus in our mind that says, I can't do that anymore. I can't do this. I can't do that. And now we have this challenge in our life, a difficulty. And this is the condition of this man for 8 years of his life. He was laying in bed, sick of the palsy. It says in verse 34, Peter said unto him, Ananias, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And look what it says. He arose immediately. Now we just think about all the things that we just discussed. And this man has been laying in bed for 8 years of his life. And this man named Peter walks in and he says, hey, you know what? Ananias, it's time for you to know something. It's time for you to know a little bit about this man named Jesus. And he gives us this description here. And I think there's a whole lot more to it than just simply walking in and saying, hey, Jesus said, get up, right? It's experiencing what it means to know Jesus Christ. It's experiencing today in the life of the church. I want you to think this morning, what is the most important thing that people that are struggling, that are sick and hurting, people that might be very literally physically disabled in this condition, and spiritually people that don't know Jesus Christ, what do they need to know? They need to know Jesus. The people in this world that have never met Jesus, that don't have any understanding of who He is, the struggle and hurt. Anybody ever been in struggle and difficulty and wonder in your life and just wondered, where do I go next? What am I supposed to be doing? Life is falling apart for me. Life seems confusing. Life is lost. And for very specifically for this man, he was laying in bed wondering, what do I do next? Where do I go? This is my life, right? This is the condition of the world that we live in today. They're looking for hope. They're looking for something. And Peter brought hope to this man that was laying in a bed by revealing to him who Jesus was. And it tells us in that verse very plainly, Jesus Christ makes you whole. It's something to celebrate this morning, today, in the life of the church. Do you realize that we are never whole until we know Jesus? Does that make sense to you? Is that what we really understand as the church today? Do you understand that for the lost people in this world that have never come to salvation experience through Jesus Christ, that they're never going to be whole until we help them to see who Jesus is? That's the responsibility of the church. That's the goal of the church. It's what we're here for. It's why Peter was here. Why he was about walking about the quarters, as it says, going from place to place so that he can help people to know Jesus. And it's the same responsibility for us today as we sit here in this place that we would help others to see Jesus. If we know Jesus Christ, then we ought to share it. We ought to encourage others into that relationship with Jesus, whatever it might take, whatever it looks like. And we just take into consideration today human nature that this man had laid in bed for 8 years of his life before a man of God came along and told him, I want you to know about Jesus. And what you get to know about Jesus today is that He wants you to walk. He wants you to get up. And the same is very true today for the sick and hurting and struggling in our world today. What Jesus wants for them is to get up and walk. To move beyond the walk in their life that they're battling with today into true, genuine fellowship with Jesus Christ. Into a walk, into a relationship. We realize how often in the life of the church do we talk about our Christian walk, right? It's referenced often in our life. That's just how we express who we are. We're walking this life through with Christ. We're moving about in our relationship with the Lord. We're taking steps every day to be in right fellowship with the Lord, to have a Christian walk. Do we even know what it means to have a Christian walk? To be in an example for Jesus Christ. And Peter was making the rounds, and for this man, when he introduces him to Jesus Christ, he says, Ananias, Jesus wants to make you whole. Man, Jesus wants to make the world whole today. It's no different. The message is no different. The desire of Christ is no different. And the desire of the church should be the same. That we have a desire to see people come to whole unity through Jesus Christ. And it has nothing very specifically today. It is not just about a physical thing for this man. And it's about knowing that this healing came through Jesus Christ. And it's why Peter says it the way he does. Jesus wants you to be whole. Not me, not my abilities, not my talents. It's not you and it's not me that can bring people to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that's working in people's lives that help them to see their need for Jesus Christ. To come to a place of wholeness in their life. He says in the very next part of that sentence, arise, make your bed and go. Jesus wants you to be whole. Now get up. Now, I just think from the human perspective. This man walks in and he's an apostle of Christ and everybody's watching this guy. And he, for whatever reason, he comes to this man's house and he says, you know, here's this man. And the saints, we've already discovered in the first part of this verses that we read that the saints were there. Other brothers and sisters in Christ were already there. They knew this man. There was a body of Christ functioning in this place in Lydda. There was a church, if we want to put it into to description today that fits our ideas. There was a church in this place. And we can make common sense of it, right? There's a church in Fowler, Colorado. Right? There's a church. There's a place that we're sitting in right now, this morning. It doesn't have anything to do with the building. There's a body of believers in this community that know Jesus Christ and know the healing power of Jesus, and we know what God can do in people's lives. And think about it. For this group of individuals, for 8 years, this man laid in bed. We don't see a lot of description there, but where was the church? This is just a question for you to think about. Where was the church for this 8 years of this man's life? Where were the other saints? As if we believe today that the same is true, that God can heal, and He can, and He does. And He can use people to minister to other people's lives. Where was the church for 8 years prior to Peter walking around coming to this place? And I wonder today in the life of Solid Rock, and I wonder in the life of Fowler, Colorado, where is the church when people are hurting? Where is the church when people don't know who Jesus Christ is? And what are we doing about it? For Peter, he stepped in and he gave this very specific direction to this man. It is Jesus that wants to heal you. And Jesus said, get up. Get up out of your bed. And take into reminder just what we discussed to begin with here in these verses. This man's been laying flat for 8 years of his life. And a guy walks in and says, hey, Jesus wants you to get up. Now get up. Right? And not only get up, but make your bed. I don't know what that has to do with anything. That's more like a mother thing, isn't it? Moms want your kids to make your bed. What was it? I want you to think about it. There's something that's very important here. There's a distinction that we have to understand that Peter brought a couple of things as he says this. Get up. And then he tells him to make his bed. Why? Because he didn't need it anymore. That was a sick bed. That was a place where this man had laid in his life, in a position in his life for 8 years. What Peter said in referencing to make your bed was to mean you don't need that bed anymore. Today, your life is different. Today, there is a change in your life. If you'll trust in Jesus Christ, you don't have to go back to that sick bed anymore. You don't go back to that place of sin. You don't go back to that struggle. It is exactly what God will do in people's lives today if we'll get serious about Jesus Christ. It is what God will do in our hearts, in our lives today, if as the church we would look seriously what God has called us to do. Peter said, get up, make your bed. And look what it says. He arose immediately. He got up. No questions, no concern. This man obviously knew the very same thing that happens when somebody knows that they need Jesus Christ. There's no denying. You're in a place and a condition in your life that says, I don't know what else to do. I don't know how I'm going to go any further. I don't know what I need to do. But I do know that Jesus is necessary for me. And that's what it means to come to a saving relationship with Jesus, right? This man knew. He didn't question anything because he knew. He knew without a doubt that God was working in his life. And immediately it says he arose. No worry about whether he could walk. I mean, just human perspective says, I've been laying here for 8 years. There's no way I can just get up out of bed, right? I can't do that. For most of us, if we sit in the chair too long for about 20 minutes, we can't get up and walk very easy, right? We know it. We hurt. We sit in one place. Think about 8 years. From the physical things, he shouldn't have been able to get up at all. But immediately he arose. And look at verse 35. And all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him. And look what happened. They turned to the Lord. Every person in the community around and surrounding communities, when they saw that this man was healed, that they looked at this man's life, they knew that there was a difference. And I want you to know this morning, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, people are looking at you. People are recognizing in your life that there's a movement, and it's something that we ought to be excited about. It's something that we ought to share. It's something that should be the important part of our life today as Christians. And if you say you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you recognize that people are looking at you and they want to know what happened. And we need to be genuine in our walk, in our relationship with the Lord. It's not just a decision we make today and tomorrow it's over with. It's a commitment to Jesus Christ for the rest of our life. And because of this man's walk, very literally a physical thing, the world around began to look. The people at Lydda began to look. The people at Saron began to look. And they looked at this man and they said, we know that guy's been laying in bed for 8 years. What happened? Jesus happened. Man, I know that guy. What if that was the condition of people in Fowler today when people got serious about Jesus Christ in their life? They came to right relationship and they looked at us and they said, man, I've known that guy for 14, 15, 20 years. He's a different person now. I've known that lady all my life. And you know what? She never acted like that, but something's different about her today. And people began to look because they saw a difference in this man's life. Obviously, for him, it was a physical thing. Obviously, he could walk. After 8 years, he hadn't been walking. Today, in the life of the church, the walk of the church should look different than the walk of the world. And it should be so obvious today that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The evidence is there, right? Scripture calls it the fruit. There's evidence in our life that we are a Christian, that we've set aside the old way. We've set aside the old nature. You say, well, what does that look like? It's sinful nature. We could go on for hours with that sinful nature, the people that we were, the way we used to talk, the way we used to act, the way we used to treat other people, right? The things that we do in our life, the way that we live our life. Are we consumed with the things of this world, or has something changed in our life? When we come to know Jesus Christ, all of the areas of our life should change. The way we talk, our attitude, our actions, our attitudes, the things that we say to people, the way that we say things to people should change, right? The way that we live our lifestyle. The things that we've always done. There's things in our life that every one of us that we do on a daily basis that are not honoring to God. Whether you want to admit it or not, that's just who we are. It's our human nature. And as a Christian, when we come to new walk and new fellowship with Jesus, we ought to have a desire in our heart that says, you know what, that's who I used to be, but that's not who I am anymore. I don't talk the way I used to talk. Those evil, nasty words that used to come out of my mouth, those discouraging thoughts and words that I used to pass along to people aren't a part of my life anymore. Those swear words that were just part of my alphabet every single day are not a part of my alphabet anymore because I want to be honoring to God. The actions and attitudes of my life, I don't go places that I used to go, right? We don't go sit in places that are not honoring to God. We don't do things that are not honoring to God. So there's a change in our life. And the change was obvious in this man's life. The man with the palsy was up and walking, and when people began to see his walk changed, they saw his conversation change. Man, that's not my dad. That's not my mom. That's not my brother. That's not my husband. That's not my wife. Something's different about them. That difference is Jesus Christ. And when the community begins to look at our life and they say, man, I don't know. We do business a little different, man. If you own a business and now all of a sudden you're in relationship with Jesus Christ, is he going to call you to change your life a little bit? I guarantee you he will. Because the world that we live in today doesn't run business like Christians should run business, right? Our homes should look differently. Christians today, we don't live in our homes the way that the rest of the world does. We don't invite sin and difficulty into our life. We don't invite the worldly things into our home. Because we now have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We discern those things for us. We get serious about our relationship with the Lord. And the community saw, and look what happens. Not because of this man and anything he did, but because of Jesus Christ and a change in his life. It tells us in that verse that others turn to the Lord. That's called a testimony. It's called a witness. It's called the fact that you're serious about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And you may never say anything at all, but it's the actions that people look at. For this man, it was very literally a physical thing. He got up and walked, and people looked and they said, "Man, we've seen this man, and nothing's changed over 8 years, but now all of a sudden it has." And why did they look to the Lord? It's so important for the church today. Guess what just happened in those two verses? Why, in the last part of that verse, does it say they turned to the Lord? Because Peter pointed them to Jesus, right? Nowhere in that verse when he told that man to get up and walk was it about him. Nowhere in there did he say, "Hey, you know what? I go to church. You ought to come to church," right? He didn't go over there and take the handicapped bus and pick that guy up out of bed and drag him to church. He went to his home and he told him about Jesus. And because he told him about Jesus, he was healed. And he revealed to him that it was truly about Christ. And when the word spread and this man began to share his testimony of what happened in his life, what did he include? What he knew. What he knew was that Peter came into his house and he said, "Jesus wants you to be healed. Jesus wants you to be whole. And the way that you're whole is to be right with Him." And when the church gets serious about looking past our own ideas and our own plans and our own thoughts, and we get serious about telling people what Jesus wants in their life, people will turn to the Lord. It's no secret. It's no magic formula in the church today. We've got this idea that if we just do the right combination of things, people will be drawn into the church. The right combination is tell them about Jesus and let Him do the rest. Let Him work in their heart. Let Him work in their life. And that's what happened in this verse. He turned to the Lord. It says many of them in the community. Verse number 36, it says, "Now there was at Joppa." Again, you got to go to your little geography and go back to a map, and you realize if you look at a map of these places, it's just a short little distance there. It's not too far. But over at Joppa is actually on the coast. It's right along the sea here as you look at it. Over there in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. It says, "This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did." And here's the description. We just moved to another geographic location, and it tells us that there was this disciple, this woman. What does it mean to be a disciple? It means to be a servant of God. When we think about the disciples, most often as they're referenced in Scripture, we think about those 12 guys that followed Jesus around, right? That's the reference of a disciple. What did that mean? They lived life with Jesus Christ. What's a disciple today? It ain't any different than that word saint. A disciple is somebody that's living in fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's living according to the Word of God. If you're living today in relationship with Jesus Christ, you're a disciple of Christ. And God has very specific things for you to do. If you don't believe me, read about the disciples. Go through the gospel. See when the disciples were about business with Jesus Christ. In the life that they lived, walking on this earth. A disciple is somebody that has been disciplined in the way of God. In the direction of God. So we see this description of this woman, Tabitha. She was a disciple. What it means she was a servant of God. She strived to be a servant of the Father. And we see it here in this very specific thing. It says, "This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did." And we have to describe these things. Maybe you have a different version, tells you a little different something there and different words used there, but we can boil it down real simply. She did the Christian life. She met the needs of others. She did what God has called for each and every one of us to do today. Look for the needs in other people's lives. She had a desire. She was a servant. And whether you realize it or not today, if you're a disciple of Christ, if you're a servant of God, if you've given your heart and your life to Him today, then He wants you to serve Him. He has a place for you to serve Him. One of the common misconceptions in the church today is that we can get saved and we can say we're a part of a church and we just hang out and wait. I promise you, God did not call you to join His family and to be obedient to Him in relationship with Jesus Christ to sit back and watch everybody do something. God has a place for you. He's gifted you with things to do. In the particulars of this woman, she was gifted. It says she did good works. She had a desire to do good works. Alms deeds, it says she went out there and she did whatever she could to help others. That was her desire. In verse 37, it says, "It came to pass in those days that she was sick." I want you to recognize one very important thing in these verses that I think gets overlooked a lot of times. Did you catch that? We come to a very specific thing. Here's a disciple of Christ, a woman that is being faithful to Jesus Christ. And what happened to her? She got sick. Oh my goodness, we just threw out all the thoughts of what the world says about Christians, didn't we? If we're faithful to the Lord, we don't get sick, right? If we're good Christians, and what does it say? She did good works, and she did alms deeds, and she met the needs of other people, and she still got sick. Don't let anybody in the world convince you that Christians don't get sick. Don't get to the place when you get to a place in your life today as individuals, when sickness comes to your home, and maybe it's you, maybe it's a family member that's now sick and dying of some sort of situation or disease or illness. Don't ever let Satan put it in your mind as a Christian that you're not saved. That you're not a follower of Christ. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. It happens every single day in the life of the church. People get sick and the first thing they want to do is turn their back on God. First thing they want to do is look at God and say, well, God, I've been serving you all these years. And look, I'm sick and dying of cancer. That is not from God. Not in any way. Not in any shape. We don't get sick any differently than everybody else. Every person, every situation has an opportunity for us in our life. There's times when we're going to get sick. This woman, it tells us very specifically, she was a servant of God. She was doing exactly what God called her to do, and she got sick. It doesn't mean she was wrong. It doesn't mean she was sinning. It doesn't mean that she did anything any different than anybody else, other than she was in service to God. And we've got to come to a place of realizing today in our world, because Satan likes to make the church feel like we did something wrong if we got sick. Oh my goodness, I got cancer. I must have done something wrong, right? That is straight from the devil. Recognize it this morning. Believe it in your heart and know that doesn't separate you from God. It didn't change her life. Because you get sick doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. Because you've got some crazy disease doesn't mean that. What we know without a doubt, we discussed it last week. The way we know that we're going to heaven when we die is because we have a conversion experience. We had a relationship with Jesus Christ. There was a day and a time in our life when we got serious about Him. The physical things of life, that's just part of life. Though we get to that place in your life today, don't blame God. Don't look at God and say, well, I've been doing all these good things. How did I get sick? Because here's an example for you right here in the New Testament early church. As we see it and recognize it very plainly in this verse. She got sick. Plain and simple. Look, oh man, and she died. That kind of happens sometimes when you get sick, right? We're all going to die if you don't realize that. Eventually, some of us don't think that it's today. We don't want to think about it. The reality is we're going to die. There's coming a day when every one of us are not going to be on this earth anymore. What matters is after that, right? For this woman, she died. Look at 37. Whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. This is just a description of what they did. This is act of the church. This woman's a faithful servant of God. She's been busy about ministering and mentoring to other people, trying to meet their needs. And it gives us a description here. And I'm not saying we ought to do this in the church. It's not something that I want to get involved in. I don't really want to go pick up dead bodies and get them ready to go. And that we have people that do that today. And I'm okay with that not being a part of the church. But this is what the church did. Why? Because they loved her. Because they cared for her. There were people that she had ministered to. It tells us that they washed her. They prepared her body for burial. That's what they were doing. They got her body ready to go. They laid her in an upper chamber. And then look what we see in verse 38. For so much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Now, we just heard about this, right? And think about the movement of God. Think about the Holy Spirit and what we're talking about happened here. Just a little short distance away, the word had spread. That's still the case today, right? Gossip spreads pretty quick. You can hear all kinds of, this was good stuff. This was good information because they heard that something had happened and this man with the palsy had been healed and Peter was just down the road. Let's send him over there. Hey, our servant of the Lord, this faithful woman in our church just died. Go get Peter. Tell him to come. Did they expect that he was going to heal her? Did they expect that something was going to be done? Did they have a desire for Peter to be there to comfort them? We don't have too many specifics about it. It just says they wanted Peter there. They heard that he was close by, so they sent a couple of men over there. Hey, Peter, come here.
Verse 39, Peter arose and he went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Now we see a little bit more about this woman, right? What was her ministry? She had a clothing ministry. Did you catch that? That's what she did. She made clothes. She provided things that were necessary for the... Did you realize there's an opportunity for the church? In the simplest of things. Huh. Funny. We're doing that in Only Springs. It's a part of the ministry of the church. To be concerned with people. This woman had such a reputation and she had met the things, the needs of the people. Look what it says, all the widows. It appears that this particular woman, Dorcas's ministry was to the widows. And I'm pretty sure that it didn't involve just clothes, right? But that she had a desire to fellowship, and where God called her to was to minister to the widows. And how did she minister to them? By providing the clothes that were necessary to them. It was something that God used. Now I want you to think about it this morning. There is no thing too small for God. When we think about the ministry that God has called us to and what we talked about already this morning, God has a place for each and every one of you in His church. And we should not ever think that one thing or another is more significant. But that every ministry that God has called us to is important. And for this woman, at this point and this time in her life, she was loved. She had friends. She had family. She had people that were concerned about her. And it tells us this. We see that description by what happened. They gathered her up. They took her upstairs. They prepared her body. And then they were standing around crying because their best friend's laying there dead. And then when Peter comes in, they said, hey, we want to share with you what this woman did for all of us. And that's what we see in that verse. What did they show? They started showing her the coats and the garments and all the things that this woman had done. Look at the life that this woman had lived. That's a testimony beyond death. Man, what great opportunity that is. For if we were dead and gone and not in this world physically anymore, that people around would gather around and say, well, this is what they did. And it wasn't because she was such a great woman. It's because she was a servant of God. It's not pointing the finger. Everybody, we live in a world today that wants to build this legacy, right? People are always wanting to build on these things. And when we're dead and gone, we want everybody to say great things, right? And I mean, nobody wants to have a funeral and nobody show up, right? That's kind of the big thing, whether we like to talk about it or not. Everybody wants people to be there. And you don't believe me? You seriously, after a funeral is over, one of the first comments you're going to hear from anybody, anytime, is either, there wasn't very many people there. Or, man, can you believe it? They were standing up, right? They were outside the building. They were here. They were there. Is that an evidence of somebody's life? Well, that was a good person, right? Man, what if that was the case for every believer, that there was no room in the church for the people to come to celebrate the life of this person, and not because they were a good person, but because they were faithful to Jesus? Because these women brought to the funeral, per se, they brought the stuff she had made. We want to share what she did. Why? Because she had a talent. She had an ability. She did something in service to the Lord. They were weeping. They were mourning because they lost their friend. But Peter, in verse number 40, put them all forth and he kneeled down. That means he pushed them all out of the room. He says, hey, it's time to go. Why? Very important to think about. Why did he send them out of the room? Why? Because he didn't need no credit. He didn't need no pat on the back. He didn't need anybody thinking that it was about him. The very distinct purpose that we see that in that verse. Peter did what God called him to do. Came to this place, he pushed all of them out of the room, and he kneels down. Look, and he prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Man. Peter got everybody out of the room, and then what did he do? He knelt down, and he prayed. It's an important message for the church today. We want to see healing in the church. We want to see what I want you to think about this morning. The dead in our world come to life in Jesus Christ. We've got to pray for them. That's what Peter did. How many times? You don't believe me? Look at that bulletin. If you got a bulletin when you walked in the front door this morning, what's the top of the list on the back of the page? There's a prayer list there. Very first thing on the prayer list. It says, pray for lost souls in our community. That's how people come to know Jesus. That's how people are raised from the death that they're living in today. People that are dying and going to hell, the only way they get out of that is to know Jesus Christ. Peter gave us a very specific example in this verse. He prayed because he was giving the credit to God. He prayed because it wasn't about him. It wasn't about what he could say. It wasn't about what he could do. He had no magic touch. He didn't walk up there and smack her in the forehead and all of a sudden she was healed. It tells us that he got down on his knees and he prayed and then he turned to the bed, right? Turning him to the body, he said, "Tabitha, get up. It's time for you to get up." She opened her eyes. Now think about this. These women are standing there mourning and weeping over their friend that's dead. It's pretty obvious. I mean, she wasn't just sleeping. They knew that she was dead. They had already prepared her body for burial. That was the custom. They knew that she was gone. And he walks in, kneels down, prays, gives all the praise and all the glory to God. Puts it in the hands of our Heavenly Father. And he says, "Tabitha, it's time to get up." And she, laying there, opens her eyes. And what does she see? Peter. It says when she saw Peter, she sat up. Immediately, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and he lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. There's a message for the church today. For the dying in the world that we live in today, they need to know one simple thing, Jesus Christ. They need to know the truth of Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about something that I think is very evident in that verse. What did Peter do? He reached out his hand and he helped her up. Why? That's what God's called the church to do today. To reach out to those that are dying in their sin and bring them to understanding of Jesus Christ. There's more there than just simply he reached out his hand and picked her up. He brought this picture of death. Now we know this woman was a disciple of Christ. She was going to heaven no matter what. Right? She was already destined to that. There's a distinction there in the world that we live in today. There, for the church today, I want to challenge your heart that we'd get serious about praying for the lost in our community. We get serious about praying for your husband, for your wife, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your grandparents, for the lost people in this community that you work with and the places all over this valley that you go. For maybe some of your coworkers that don't know Jesus Christ. That the church would get serious about praying. For our young people, that you'd pray for your friends at school and the places that we go, that they would come to know Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if in our schools today that our children that know Jesus would pray for their friends? And that their biggest concern would be for them to come to know Jesus Christ, not to get the best new clothes and have the best fun and do the best party and do all these things that our kids are worried about, but to get serious about Jesus Christ? That the biggest desire for our children would be that their friends wouldn't die and go to hell? Can you imagine what it'd be like today if every adult in this place was that serious about Jesus Christ? That it meant enough for you to that you call somebody a friend? That you call somebody a family member? And that it meant enough that you would be serious about sharing with them Jesus Christ? That we would love them enough? That we'd love them more than we fear them? That's the condition of the church today. We're so fearful that friends, family members, strangers on the street are going to say something funny about us because we told them about Jesus. But I promise you, if they come to know Jesus Christ and they get to spend eternity in heaven, they're going to be glad that you were willing to say something. That's what's going to matter. Because when they die and go to hell and wonder why their best friend supposedly never said a word about Jesus Christ, then what? What do we think about that? Peter reached down and he picked up this dead woman. He helped her up. It says there, he presented her alive. This is an important part of the church today. It's one of the things that's missing today in church life as well. There's a celebration of life right there. And when somebody gets saved, when somebody comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then we need to encourage them to tell people. We need to encourage them. We need to give them the opportunity to show that to the lost world that's living. Hey, something happened to me. I got saved. When that's our life, maybe that was a long time for you. Maybe that's been a lot of days ago and you've already shared that with a lot of people. Maybe it was recent and you haven't told a whole lot of people. You could do that. You should do that. It should be a part of the church. It should be something that we get serious about. When we share with people what it means that God has changed my life. He presented her alive, and it says in verse 42, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Again, more people came to know Christ because somebody stood up and said, look what God did in my life. You don't believe me? Your testimony is important. It's evident right there. You tell people what God's doing in your life, even if it seems small. Even if it's not something as drastic as what we see here with a man that was healed of an ailment that he laid in bed for 8 years of his life. It's not the fact that we were physically dead and God brought us back. But if we know Jesus Christ, I promise you, God's working in your life. And we have opportunity. We do it often in our church. We take that time Sunday mornings just to praise God. That's what that time's for. We have an invitation every Sunday, if you didn't know that. Right, we play a song and we give you an opportunity. It's not just to close the service. It's an opportunity to do something. If it's to come up here and praise God for what He's done in your life, we ought to do that. It's okay. Just because it may not look like normal church life for us doesn't mean it's not right. We get into a habit of doing those things. They praised God because of this woman, and many believed because of the testimony of what God had done. It came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. This sets us up for where we go next in these verses. But they fellowship. They worship together. It's an important part of the church. I want to challenge your heart this morning. If God's called you to do something today, would you do it? Would you be willing in the time of invitation? Would you come and share a testimony? Would you come and let the world know that God's done something in your life? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you got that opportunity today. You can come down here. We'll do the same thing. We'll pray with you. We'll help you to understand what it means to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe God's told you to do something else. Maybe you need to get baptized. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you need to join this church. That's what God's called you to do. Maybe He's been putting it on your heart. You need to be a part of what goes on in this church in a more solid and permanent way. We want you to come. Come do it. Whatever God's called you to do, it's an opportunity for you to be a witness for Christ today. Maybe there's other things. I don't know what it is. God does. Would you be willing to be obedient to Him today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. And Lord, I thank you for this testimony that we see in the lives of these two individuals. Lord, we see your healing power. We see your faithful servants committed to doing what you'd called them to do. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be the same today. Lord, in this place and in this room, that we'd be the servants you've called us to be. Whatever that might look like today, you know every heart, you know every life. I pray you just lead us this morning, Lord. We praise you and we thank you and we ask these things in your name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. 275. Opportunity to be gathered here this morning in this place. Lord, I thank you for each one that is here and their desire to obediently follow you in their lives. Lord, we just thank you for the testimony of your word this morning, and I pray you would guide us from this place, that we would be the light you've called us to be. Lord, that the life that we live would be a testimony for you. Lord, we thank you for how you love us and how you care for us. Thank you most of all for the gift of a Savior through Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we ask these things in your name. Amen.